Would you please turn to Hebrews chapter 11 with me?
Our character tonight is Isaac. And there is in chapter 11 really only one verse that refers to him, but it is a verse that's packed with so much that it's such a blessing. In chapter 11 and verse number 20, by faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau. Here's a little statement there concerning things to come. Mr. Prophecy is smiling right there. Concerning things to come. It's very interesting as you consider the life of Isaac and the Abrahamic covenant that was given to Isaac and still is operating. Even in the East today, you see the outcome of that covenant and the conflict between the Jews and the Arabs and all that goes on with that and how it all ties in to the prophetic word. And it seems that Isaac saw these things as he passed on the baton to the younger generation. So he's an interesting character from that point of view. His name Isaac means, hold on, the meaning of the name Isaac is laughter. He laugheth, or the laughing one. He is the only son of Abraham and Sarah. The name Isaac was fully chosen by Jehovah. Does God? Is God joyful and have a wonderful sense of humour, a holy one? I think he does. And he wanted everybody to know what an amazing thing it was that Isaac came about to a couple of, the word again, old croaks. You know how old they were when he was given to them by the Lord. It's incredible. And they had to learn to trust God in the meantime. And their faith, the faith of Isaac, was a living, Abraham was a living faith. And Isaac grew up in that faith. Praise the Lord for that next generation. Brothers and sisters, we need to be praying for our next generation. Amen. And we love them and so good to see them coming on, but I'm thinking the younger, really younger ones tonight. But the name Isaac was fully chosen by Jehovah. Be careful when you appoint names for your children and that you look to the Lord for something that's a blessing. Again, we see God provides. Going to have this child, and you are going to call him Isaac. God provides and God works. And so it's a joyful name and refers to the child's miraculous birth and the laughing joy it occasioned to Sarah and Abraham. What a joy. So it is that the word of God says about this in Genesis chapter 17:19, and God said, Sarah thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant. Keep that in mind. Still operating right throughout until the Lord returns is that covenant working out on God's ancient people who are now in the land and who are now experiencing the things of the last days. But here was the promise to Isaac. This is the word of God to God's man Isaac. Isaac had the word of God. So do you. Do you live by the word of God? Is your faith grounded in God who has given us his word? And you've got a better covenant. Brothers and sisters, he was in the Abrahamic covenant. We've got the new covenant under Christ, which is way far better And we ought to be so thankful for that. We have the Word of God more than he did. So we praise God for that. But he had a particular purpose to fulfill, did Isaac. And so do we in our day and age. And I will make thee exceeding fruitful. And I they're in the notes, Genesis 17:6. And I hope that you do your homework and you read through the overall text of Genesis 22 to 28. And you get a super blessing and an added blessing beyond what you're going to receive here tonight for the sake of time. So God is promising here some wonderful things in this covenant. And kings shall come out of thee, and I will establish my covenant between me and thee. Oh, this is a relationship with God. Isaac is a spiritual man from the word go. For 180 years, Isaac had a relationship with God. And when we see Isaac introduced here, he is already someone who knows justification by faith, as did Abraham and so on. He had that faith, and so we see this is a man of faith from a young age who has learned and seen God working and is aware of God's promises to him in this everlasting covenant. I will give unto thee and thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger. How does Israel come to be in the land today? Here it is, the covenant of God, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession. And I will be their God. And God said unto Abraham, thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore thou and thy seed after thee, Isaac, in their generations. Oh, we are to live in the word of God in our generation, as he did then. This is my covenant which ye shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man child among you shall be circumcised. And so God required in the Old Testament for his children to have a commitment and testimony seen in this circumcision. So he was going to be a man of God, a man in the faith, man in the word. He had the book of God. He had the word of God. My wife's reading a book by Mrs. Jensen. And she tells of six generations of that family who had the book. And in that sixth generation, the granddaughter says, Grandpa, how do you know the book is true? And he said, well, look at what God has been doing through our generations and showing himself powerful and a great God. Amen. But what if the book is wrong? He said, well, if it is, what a great life anyway. And as we know, the word of God is true. Amen. And accurate. And you see it playing out down through the generations, even to our time. The book of God, the covenant of God to his children. We have the new covenant, the born-again experience, the indwelling Holy Spirit. Born again, we are redeemed through the blood. We are born again through trusting in Christ and repentance and faith in our Lord. The indwelling Holy Spirit and the working of God in our lives and a wonderful relationship. And we're looking forward to glory, as our hymns reminded us tonight. Praise the Lord. So here it is then, as it continues on, and we won't read this, except we'll go to verse 21 on page number 2. Thank you, Melody, for all the work you've done on this, and Mrs. Ringwald that helps with me. Wouldn't be able to do it without them. And we find in verse number 21, but my covenant will I establish with Isaac. Isn't that wonderful? God says, Isaac, I'm going to have a relationship and a covenant with you.
And you're going to enjoy the blessing. And that's one of the differences between the Old and New Testament. Every believer is in that covenant relationship with the Lord. We can go to him in prayer. We can approach the throne of God and walk with the Lord. What a wonderful covenant that is. And we should be so thankful for what we have in Christ. But my covenant will I establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear thee at the set time in the next year. He left off talking with him, and God went up from Abraham. Another verse 22, another little difference between Old Testament relationship and New Testament. Christ is dwelling within us, never leaving or forsaking. The heavens open, the relationship is there. We can, in prayer and fellowship, experience God's blessing moment by moment, day by day. What a wonderful God we have. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 20, we're reminded, by faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning the things to come. Here we see Isaac's faith in what God had said. The fact that Isaac blessed his sons concerning things to come indicates his clear vision of God and his future plan. This gave him stability and a walk with God over other patriarchs. And we were reminded about that in the preaching this morning, and that was a blessing. A stability and a walk with God. Isaac had this throughout his life. Even though the events of the book of Genesis seemed to involve deceit rather than faith, Isaac's part was in faith, in that he was accomplishing God's will in the covenant. Likewise, Jacob's blessing of both the sons of Joseph, involved faith. Now, I'll be dealing with Jacob in a few weeks' time, and we won't rush ahead into that. So Jacob blessed both of his sons. This involved faith, for it involved the carrying out of God's promise. So these events in the life of Isaac demonstrate the faith and the intimacy of their relationship with God and God's will and God's word. Isaac is referred to as a man of faith, carrying on the godly line. We see in Abraham, and this is it, at the end of his life, he's passing it on to his sons. He blessed them, Jacob and Esau. So, here we go then. And how wonderful it was then that God was working and that he was able to pass on the faith as he went home to be with the Lord. Isaac, then, a man of faith, carrying on the godly line. His life is a testimony to answered prayer in a man who prayed, meditated, and relied on God by faith. So much in the life of Isaac. That's a real blessing. The life of Isaac. I have a young preacher friend of mine. He's called his firstborn son, Isaac. And the more I've studied this, the more I've thought, Simeon, you were right calling him Isaac. And the little fella, I was with him the other week, and he's a real Isaac. It is good to see how God is working. Praise the Lord in that. So here it is. Isaac then is referred to as a man of faith. Man who prayed, a man who meditated, a man who relied on God's promises. So Isaac's relationship with God was very real. Isaac's beautiful and suggestive name, Helah, commemorates two laughings at the promises of God. The laughing of the father's joy. Abraham, boy, he was excited about this. Dear Sarah, as she got old, struggled with this. She struggled. But Abraham, I believe, held on, and eventually dear Sarah had a wonderful change. The laughing of Sarah's incredulity. And the Lord said, you're going to have a baby. What? She laughed her head off, you know. I can't believe it. How old was she? Reminding you and me, how old was she? 90. Abraham's about 100. You know, they're no spring chickens. That's good. That's got, yes, that's good. Yeah. Well, imagine then this promise of God, and also how incredible it was. But it brought joy to Abraham, I believe, because I'm going to have a son. Huh? Amen. What a joy. And I'm going to be able to fulfill the promise and word of God. More importantly, we're going to do God's will and follow God's word. So it was a beautiful promise God gave. And Sarah's laughing, soon of incredulity, soon turned into penitence and faith. That's why she's listed here in the scriptures, verse 11. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Oh, she came through for faith. Ladies, please hold on to the faith. Mothers, hold on to the faith. Grandmothers and others, hold on to the faith. Follow the Lord all of your days, and God will richly bless you, and others will join the joy as well of God's working. So for just to continue on, Isaac was the first one to inherit the covenant. The covenant was given directly to Abraham. It was inherited. And by the way, because of his relationship with God, he got the full inheritance. It all went to him. All that Abraham had went to his son Isaac, the whole inheritance of Abraham. And that meant that Isaac was to carry on the family line. He was to lead the family in godliness. The patriarchal father of the family would lead them in the Lord and help them as they followed on. Isaac is included, and I love this, Isaac is included in the royal line of faith through whom the Saviour, our Lord Jesus Christ, would come. The work that I do on this is from primary studies. It's not full of downloads, and they can be helpful, but for you that would study the Word of God, get down to the Scriptures and dig in down there. And boy, you'll see how foolish the commentaries are when the commentators, oh, no, it doesn't mean that, it means this, and goes to contradict the Word of God. So that costs you nothing, that comment. But to encourage you, Isaac is included in the royal line of faith. And how beautiful that is. Abraham begat Isaac. And then in chapter 1 of Matthew, this is Matthew 1, 16 and 17, Christ comes. Isn't that beautiful how God worked down through the centuries, and that our Lord Jesus Christ came through this line of faith, and humanly speaking, but it was all of the Father. God was not ashamed to be the God of Isaac. And you'll find this over and over throughout the whole of Scripture, where God says, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac. This is my child. He owns you before the throne. And when the devil's attacking, God is saying, this is my child. He was not ashamed to be called the God of Isaac. Honouring Isaac's justifying faith. Isaac's God is our God. Always keep that in the back of your mind. The will of God is seen then in Isaac's life. The will of God, over on to page 3. Isaac's early life, his early years, with his elderly parents was marked by great joy. Love your elderly parents, by the way. Children, anyway, about parents, okay? Amen. Abraham's faith and patience was blessed. We see the will of God is best and blessed. And Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me. It was early years of great joy, of God's promises and
seeing this young fella come to fruition there and the family together. What a blessing. The wedding feast at 2 years old. They had a party. They had a feast, a praise unto our God, as the family gathered together and all the friends and everyone gathered to rejoice. The child groom was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast the same day that Isaac was weaned. The Old Testament is not just all fasting. Fasting and deep and heavy, hard diets and a hard life. It is full of God's blessings and the ways in which the Lord worked. Wonderful feast, gathering together, rejoicing over the fulfillment of God's promises. But then we have to comment a little bit, Ishmael's jealousy. By contrast, Ishmael saw no occasion for gladness. Sadness and sorrow came as a result of the violation of God's will. To him being supplanted in the more particular honour of the house of his younger brother. He didn't like that. But now there was a young brother come up, a full son of Abraham and Sarah. And he was the son of the bondwoman. She came from Egypt. The law and the flesh bring sadness and defeat. He mocked Isaac and so angered Sarah that she sent him away. And Isaac and Abraham hated to do that, but he had to. The Ishmael situation. God had promised to give them an heir. Why go about, find an Egyptian woman, and try and have a child this way and fulfill God's word? It's not going to happen. And it brought nothing but grief. Don't rush ahead of the Lord. Just wait on God. Amen. And do it God's way. Sarah said, well, let's grab this girl. She'll have a baby for you. You want a son, Abraham? Let's grab this girl. She'll do it. Oh, Sarah did not know the grief and anguish that she was supervising in this disobedience to God's will. And it continues to this day, brothers and sisters. This day, the sadness and the trouble that came out of this disobedience. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, which she had born under Abraham, mocking. Oh, the world, the flesh and the devil, they mock the children of God, the people of God, the promises of God. And he began to mock this young one, and here old Isaac's life became a misery, and the troubles that came out. Wherefore she said unto Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son. Now, friends, there's a good comment here. Do not live by the law. There is no salvation by the law and the works of the flesh. By the works of the flesh shall no one be justified in God's sight. It's by faith and faith alone. In God's will, God's word. And here it is then, they have to send him away. And this sort of broke Abraham's heart because he loved this boy. But because this was not God's will, they had to send him away. And Abraham grieved that Ishmael acted this way, saw the heartache it caused to his son, his beautiful son Isaac. We are shown by example here of the heartache of a wrong decision which was made outside of the will of God. Be not deceived. Whatsoever man sows, that shall he also reap. So to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. And so here is then, and they had to ask him and show him the door. And separation had to come into play. How important that is, by the way. So the flesh brings pleasure only for a season. They were happy that little Ishmael was bouncing along the road. Oh, yeah, this is great. But the long-term result was devastating. And so it is. Getting out of the will of God, making mistakes is a costly thing. The casting out of Ishmael, this is not in your notes, but you could perhaps note this down. The casting out of Ishmael has been productive of bitter fruit, surviving in the religion of Muhammad. The wild, this is quoting from Herbert Lockyer, the wild hearts beat on the bosoms of those who form the Arab world. Not being racist, just the facts. And little did Sarah know that when she persuaded Abraham to take Hagar, that she was originating a rivalry which has run in the keenest strife through the ages and which oceans of blood have not stopped. The Arab-Israel conflict. And even the other week, 60 young people injured, several killed when they tried to storm the boundary there with Israel, the Arabs. All the bitterness. The Muslim Arabs claim descent from Ishmael. Ishmael's mother and wife were Egyptian, which differentiates them from the pure Hebrew. The Arabian tribes springing from Israel are scattered throughout the Arabian Peninsula, where Ishmael received his name. The Lord said that he would be a wild man or a wild ass man, as the Hebrew expresses it. So boy, this Ishmael and his crew, they're going to be a wild bunch. And they still are. Right? So it is, what a mistake. Please be careful. Young people, young couples, be careful. Seek counsel and godly counsel and the word of God, and be careful what you do. Small decisions can result in big problems. So we see Sarah's faith, how she continued on in faith now, and the blessing then came, and they stayed there in that land and so forth. We see Sarah then, who continues on with the Lord, and the will of God is being now fulfilled in Isaac. Genesis 24:67, and Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent and took Rebecca, and she became his wife, and he loved her, and Isaac was comforted after his death. All to show there how the will of God worked out in Isaac and how God gave him a beautiful wife. How lovely that is. What a wonderful story. All right, the will of God then is best. The will of God is the way of faith. It is the way of obedience. It is the way of joy and gladness. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Many people, especially family, are hurt when we move out of the will of God and do it our way. As believers, we must come to the place of brokenness and full surrender. Yieldedness to the Lord. Oh, Lord, I'm surrendered to you. Let's go, Lord. Yieldedness to the Lord, humility, and doing it in the Holy Spirit. And we'll go to that in a moment. But so Sarah had to face the hard decision in sending away this son, this stepson, grieved Abraham. And for years they were suffering because of this mess that they had made. As the years went by, Ishmael became more bitter. God graciously moved in this situation, because we see much later in Isaac's life that Ishmael and Isaac buried their father. That's just a real victory there of God's working. We must be careful to travel down life's way, as we travel down life's way, that we apply biblical principles and keep ourselves in the will of God. Faith, trust in the Lord. Proverbs 3:5-6. With all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. This is the promise of God. Amen. Dear child of God,
The Lord is going to lead you and guide you, that you must wait on him and learn what it means to wait and live the life of an Isaac. So Isaac's faith resulted in obedience to the will of God and so many blessings. We come then to the offering of Isaac on page number 5, and we see here a wonderful thing happening, and how it is that the Lord did tempt Abraham. Now, we had last week about a foolish decision, a foolish comment, and the idea of someone being sacrificed and so forth. And we see the outcome, the mess of somebody who did not really follow the word of God and who shot off at the mouth. Our brother did a great job with that last week. But here's a different one altogether. God did not intend that Abraham was going to kill his son. But God did intend that Abraham was going to be taken to the brink, that Abraham was going to be tested to the edge, and that he was going to be called upon to trust God in this situation. So this was an amazing act of faith shown by obedience to God's plan to test Abraham and Isaac. Now remember, by this time, Isaac is not a little baby. Isaac is somewhere between 16 and 25 years old. So this is somebody who's already walked in life's way, who's already seen the Lord working in the family and through dad, and seen how God works. So he's not totally ignorant of this, and also he is included in this to be tested. So God is testing Abraham, and God is also testing Isaac. Isaac knew what God was doing. He had a part in this, and he was very conscious and aware of what God was doing. Isaac was somewhere around 16 to 25 years of age. Different scholars vary, but 16 is the minimum. About 25 is the maximum that different scholars give. And As such, it would have been impossible for Abraham to put him there and hold him there against the strength of youth. Can you imagine me trying to put Kapow on an offering bench? And this is about, stand up, brother, stand up. Let's see the height of this guy. Look at this champion coming on here. Wow, I wouldn't like to take him on, brother. And what, he's probably got a bit of karate in his pocket too. Okay, you can be seated. But imagine this. This is the reality. I was preaching down in South Australia, and I said to this group, is there an Isaac in the house who would be willing to climb on the altar? And a young man about 13 years old put up his hand, and everybody's looking at him, and I'm looking. And they said, Pastor, this is Isaac. And that Isaac, he was willing. Godly family, love the Lord. And yes, he would be willing to follow his father in that way. Wow, it really hit home what this would mean. So here's a note. Parents, take note. Young people must be brought to the Lord and taught to follow God from a young age, before they rebel, so that they will apply their heart to wisdom and remain tight in the family. Oh, yes. Oh, I've heard parents say, oh, when he's a bit older, I'll discipline him. No, start now. Mr. John Rice said, and they asked him, well, when do I start disciplining the children, Pastor Rice, Brother Rice? He said, well, if it's a little boy, as soon as you take him home, put him in his room, let him know who's boss, or he's going to be, or if it's a little girl, so with the little boy, day one, with the little girl, maybe about day three. But there was a lot in that. And then the book that was written by his brother, Love Them, Lick Them and Learn Them. Love them, spank them and teach them in the ways of the Lord. And God will bless. By the way, this is scripture. This is doable. And I see it happening here among the families, how God's working. And for a grandpa like me, it's such a joy, such a joy. So Isaac put himself on the altar in willingness to sacrifice his life to God. He did this at a young age and stayed that way for his life. All the commentators agree. It doesn't seem like there's not a lot said about Isaac in chapter 11 here. Why? Because there's not a lot of bad stuff to report. There's not a lot of situations how God bailed out his man. When you come to Jacob, it's another story, as you well know. But here we find then that this young man who continues on, willing to sacrifice, willing to give. And so most of the commentators agree that Isaac lived this way. This was his life, a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is the reasonable service, as the book of Romans tells us, Romans 12, 1 and 2. Take the challenge, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, you present your bodies as living sacrifices. There are two things to keep in mind. Number one, salvation. Number two, sanctification, dedication to the Lord. And that's what we need today. That's what we need. We see here he was committed, he was placed on the altar. That altar speaks to us of Calvary. It was on the same mount that Christ was crucified. It's amazing when you think of it. And so it was that he went there and he was placed on a place of sacrifice and dedication to God. And I think that's what God wanted all the way with this man, with his father and this man, that they would be sold out for the Lord, dedicated in that point. And so they went to that place, that altar, and there they went right down into that situation. And what a picture it is. Isaac is a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ, obedient unto the Father, even, yea, to death, and the death of the cross. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name above every name. Oh, our Lord Jesus, what an example of our Lord and the example of this man with his Father. What a picture of our Lord Jesus, but also what a picture of the Christian life. Have you been there? Have you been to Calvary? I didn't say salvation. Have you been there? Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. This is not push, 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 surrender and go. No, this is humble yourself, even to the death of the cross, as it were. Humble yourself. I am crucified with Christ, said Paul. That self-life has gone to the cross. And there he died to self, the self-will. Self-ways. And there he yielded himself in service to the Lord. Isaac climbed there by faith in the will of God, to the point of faith in the resurrection power of the Father. That's what they were believing right there. They were believing. And it all looked grim, but believing. The resurrection. Maybe God is going to resurrect you, Isaac. But then a wonderful thing happened. God provided a substitute. God provided Jehovah Jireh. And Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said, in this day, in the mount of the Lord, it shall be seen, the provision of God. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus our Lord. He saw the provision of God. The young man to see the provision of God, the working of God. And what a blessing that is. I thank God that when I was first saved and began, I was only saved once and that's all you need. It worked, amen. It's still, praise God. But when I had around me beautiful people of faith,
And learned so much from how God provided for them. And we tell the story of Aunt Florrie till they're sick of hearing it, who said to the Lord one day, "Dear Lord, I'm going to dedicate my whole pension to you. And I'm going to trust you for survival." And so she had a little plaque made up, "Jehovah Jireh," put it by the front door. And I, as a young person, saw what God did. She was working in prisoner's aid and volunteering. And the next day she went into work, the boss said, "Come in here." "Florrie," he said, we want to support you week by week." And that support was equal to the housekeeping and all. So dear little widow, Aunt Florrie, shorter than this little lady, our dear sister, oh, word, we saw God's hand. Enough of that. Didn't want to digress. But what a testimony to God's provision. Now then, young people, be encouraged, because point three, the marriage of Isaac. Oh, a beautiful bride comes along. She is absolutely a killer. Not that I think that we should look on the outside, because my definition of beauty is way different to that of Hollywood. A person that loves God, seeks to live according to God's will and God's word, that's a person of beauty. You're going to look for a wife that's good looking? No way. I look for a wife that was godly and loved the Lord and would feed me well for 50 years. You know? Oh dear. God is good. But anyway, this is the thing now. God had provided on that mount. As time went by, you hear nothing for many years. Nothing much is said about Isaac. He stayed in the will of God at home. He was about at 37 years old. There's hope yet, people. At 37 years old, after the death of his mother, he was married to one of the most beautiful women of the Old Testament. Isaac, note this, Isaac is one of the great examples of marriage fidelity. Marrying one beautiful wife and staying with her through the whole of his life. In the Old Testament, they have all sorts of other trouble coming in and out. One wife for one life. That's God's will. Now, if that hasn't happened with you, and there are things that have happened, go to the Lord about it, seek his forgiveness, and don't make the mistakes again that you made before. He loves you, and so do we. God bless you. So it is at 37 years old, we see this amazing event that you can read and enjoy. At the same time, God kept Rebecca, a pure virgin bride for Isaac. The story of the servant's trip to meet his bride is beautiful. And this is all an answer to prayer. Meditation and prayer marked Isaac's life, waiting on the Lord. And it's interesting too, in relation to this marriage situation, the father said, "Look, don't go down to Egypt. Don't go for a bride in Egypt. Don't marry one of the locals, the Canaanites. Don't marry one of those. Go down to the relatives area and there see what God has got." For God had somebody that loved the Lord down there, a person of faith. And it's beautiful, isn't it, the way that the servant goes and she comes to water the animals and get water for the household. She gives the man of God, the young servant of God, something to drink. She's willing to water the camels and all the rest of it. And the story goes on here, and the amazing faith of that servant. To ask her, "Well, who are you? Who's your family?" That's important, by the way. Who's your family? And gets introduced to the family, stays with them, and discovers that this is the woman that God has for his man, Isaac. And so he stays there for a few days, and he says to the family, "Well, I need to know whether God's in this or not.
Is this the gal for my boss, Isaac, or what? And then, maybe, yes. Yeah. And then the mother says, well, stay on for 10 days or so. We'll work it out and see what she says. He says, now, hold on a minute. I've got to get this worked out now, because I need to know if my mission is complete and being blessed. Is she going to go with me or not? Tomorrow. We need a couple of weeks to get sorted. And ask her, would you go with this man to meet your husband? I will go, she says. She was getting a bit older too, you know. Yeah, she was ready. God had prepared her. And so, again, the provision of the Lord for his man, God provided. And they had a beautiful marriage and a wonderful relationship and family together. The bride was provided by the Lord in faith, in obedience to the command of Abraham. A trusted servant went to Mesopotamia. Abraham said, don't go there. And they didn't go there. How many a father has advised his children? How many a pastor has advised a young lady about marriage and so forth, and or a young man? And he said, well, I'm marrying her anyway, we're in love. But she's an Egyptian. Mm-hmm. Oh, we love each other. It's going to be great. For 10 years it might be, but I've lived long enough to see the heartache and to see also the unfaithfulness of people and how those mixed marriages just do not work. Wait on God. So it is the same time God kept her and Isaac kept praying. In fact, the day that she arrived into his area, it was toward the end of day. It says he was out meditating. I'm going to do a bit of preaching now, Pastor, to get this wound up. But he was out meditating and praying. And along comes the servant with this beautiful woman. He looks at her, she looks at him. Married that day. And Isaac greatly comforted by this dear bride. And she and he made a wonderful relationship. And their things went on so beautifully. We see Isaac's children are mentioned then, and we've got to refer to this. Isaac loved his children. He prayed and God gave him two children. God gave him two children, and he was blessed in this. And so it is that they came into the household, but something happened. Division in the family. Isaac loved Esau and liked the food he brought in from the paddocks, the hunting life. And his mother loved Jacob. He was a quiet man, godly quiet man, who sought to do the right thing. And the story unfolds in the next episode concerning Jacob. But the family divided and there were problems, as we know. And things went a bit strange there for a bit, but Isaac's faith was unmoved in the promises of God, and he continued on. Isaac had an interesting life as he followed the Lord by faith. In Genesis 26, it tells how for a while, during a particular time, they had to go to this area and live, and how that he had tremendous harvest and was blessed in the land of the Philistines. Oh, we can have the same blessing in this land. We live in the land of the Philistines. Australia, the land of the Philistines, brothers. But we can have the blessing of God as we follow God's word and live in obedience. We notice in Genesis 26, and this is typical really of things that happened with this man of God, and chapter 26, 1-5. And there was a famine in the land besides the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went unto Abimelech, the king of the Philistines, under Gerar, and the Lord appeared unto him and said, go not down into Egypt. Go not down into Egypt. Go not down into Egypt. Go not down. Oh, please. Please. Seen it too many times. people have gone, committed sins, ended up in jail, and I could tell you, we're going to midnight, of people that foolishly engaged with Egypt. And the sins of Egypt became their sins. And not only that, outlandishly the devil worked, that some of those people showed Egyptians how to sin boldly, yeah, until the law caught up with them, and they learnt that God has a way of dealing with that. But be careful. Egypt has nothing to offer. Nothing for you. The world's philosophy. And the filth and garbage that we hear coming out of the world's philosophies is just destructive to society. The Lord will come to sort it out, and that's the only way it'll get sorted. The Lord appeared unto him and said, go not down to Egypt. And not only that, hey, guess what? Isaac didn't go down to Egypt. Hallelujah! Praise God! Oh, just obedience, you know. Obedience is the very best way to show that you love God. And it's the way of blessing. It's the way of Isaac. And so Egypt speaks of the fear in which we live prior to conversion, the world, the flesh, the devil, the pride of life, sinful appetites and worldly ways. And all of Egypt's apples have worms. You have to bite in to find out many times. So it was that the Lord appeared and the Lord worked in his servant, and he continued on. He continued this way, following the Lord and believing God. Isaac died at the age of 180. So the Lord was saying to me this week, and the doctor said, you're not terminal. 180. There I go. Said, you know, my days are in his hands, and I thank God for the opportunity. Amen. Stand here tonight. Thank you for the opportunity. But my days are in his hands. Amen. And I'll have my ups and downs. God pulled me out of hospital and got me on my feet again, giving me strength back. I'm still kicking, amen, for the Lord, not the devil. You know, I'm not kicking for Egypt, brother. What a bunch of losers. So it is here that he died and he went to be with the Lord. Hey, that's going to be the end of our faith, the end of the covenant. Be absent from the body, at home with the Lord. How wonderful that is. People in my condition, they just go, whoop. Out of it. Glory. My brother-in-law yesterday rescued a guy that went out to it in the supermarket in the line behind him. And my brother-in-law is an A&E nurse and revived this guy. And he went. Bang. Down he went. But I thank God that heaven awaits. And this man, the Lord blessed him through his days. Isaac gave up the ghost and died. He was gathered under his people, being old and full of days. And his sons Esau and Jacob buried him. That's a miracle they got together. The Lord was his shepherd and blessed him and provided for him. Hebrews 11:13, these all died in faith. And then we see some wonderful things, Isaac's commendable character. We are called upon to mention a couple of blots in his character there. And that'll be something for your Bible reading this week, that we see Isaac, a man of prayer. Isaac, a man of meditation. Page 10, we're getting there. Isaac's submission. That's the thing. Submitted to God's hand and his will, and seeing the miracle intervention of God. Isaac's trusting God continued all the days. His deep devotion to the Lord. And his faith continued even though he was being deceived at one point. He was doing the right thing. He was old and blind, it says, this man, when he passed to be with the Lord. He drank up in the presence of God and the brand new body. He was peaceable, a herdman, a wise man that could get on with his neighbours. And had a testimony to the neighbours round about. Tremendously blessed in his farming business. One of the greatest farmers of the old time. Blessed, but a godly farmer. Thank God for godly farmers and godly whatevers who follow the Lord. His prayerfulness. Genesis 26, 25. He built an altar there and called upon the name of the Lord, pitched his tent there, and there Isaac's servants digged a well. He had an altar. He got a family altar going, praying to the Lord yourself between you and the Lord day by day. The faith that carried on, looking for a better country. That is a heavenly. We see the fear of Isaac, which is an interesting one, and this talks about his fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is wisdom. Isaac had the fear of the Lord in such a way that he was a shaker. We call them in modern times Quakers. They get into the presence of the Lord. They're overawed by the holiness of God, and they begin to tremble before God. I haven't known many people like that over the years. I've known a few. And Isaac was known of that, that he had the fear of the Lord and how he walked with God and so forth. And the fear of his father Isaac, his fear of God. The fear of Isaac means that he is a God-trembling one who was adored by the other patriarchs. Oh, Isaac's a godly man. Isaac passed on the faith. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. All these are aspects of the life of faith. May the blessing of God be upon us, that we would live a long and fruitful life. Isaac's life of faith, Isaac's life of faith stirs us to the same life of faith. Thank God for that.